Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or some topic of interest that you'd like to discuss with us, well, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the Basic Gospel and how to get established in this truth as individuals. You know, this gospel is a real disruptor of our old way of life. I mean, we're going along and everything seems to be okay, but we know underneath there's this gnawing sense that something's not right. We feel an emptiness inside, but we're not sure what that is. And then finally the gospel message hits and we recognize that we're dead spiritually and we need life, and we receive the life of Jesus, and Jesus comes to live inside of us. And now we have a new way of life. So that's the disruptive nature of the gospel message. It just rips us out of that old way of life and just plops us into a brand new way of existence. And it's exciting, but there's fear involved, because we're unfamiliar. Anytime we change, anytime we face something new, a new challenge, there's fear involved. But we're not facing that fear alone. We're not facing that new alone. We have Christ himself living inside of us. And that's what this new covenant is all about. Yesterday we read the four promises of the new covenant. Today we want to focus on the first one, and it's recorded for us in Hebrews 8, verse 10. It's from an Old Testament passage in Jeremiah. The writer of Hebrews just brings it forward and says, this is reality now. Back then, it was just a promise, an unfulfilled promise, something that was going to happen at a later date. But in the book of Hebrews, he's writing as if it's our current reality. Yes. Why? Because it is. So he says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the first promise of this new covenant is the fact that God is going to do something for us on the inside. It's not just an external cleansing. It's an internal cleansing with a whole new operating system in place. He's going to write his laws on our hearts and in our minds. Now, he's not writing the Ten Commandments. Those were already there.
Yes.
All of us knew what those Ten Commandments were all about. As Paul wrote in, I think, Romans chapter 2, the Gentiles who did not have the law knew it because it was written on in their consciences. So we knew what the Ten Commandments were. So this is something new, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it has to be. Because just prior to this, I mean, God told Jeremiah, and it's even here in Hebrews 8, they didn't continue in my covenant. So they had the law. God created this covenant with them, and then they wandered off. And so something has gone to change. It has to change. I mean, we've got a new priest, a new priesthood. There must be a change in the law, so it can't be the ten. It's got to be something different. And you know, God doesn't leave us hanging. He's given us faith, hope, and love. He does inside of us what we could never do from the outside. I mean, if I love you because God has loved me, there are things I will not do to you. Period.
Yes.
Period. And if I am walking by faith in Jesus Christ, there are things he's going to lead me through that would have destroyed me otherwise, but don't now. If I've got this hope inside of me, that is the guaranteed future. I know that I am seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms right now. I know that I have been resurrected with him right now. It's not in my timeline, but it's just as true as anything is here. Those are inside things. Those are the kinds of things that motivate us and drive us forward in a way that no external law could ever hope to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And when, you know, Jesus was asked what were the greatest commandments, he summed it up and said, the greatest is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then he said, and there's a second one that's like it, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. So love is the summation of the law. That's yes. what it's distilled down to. How do we respond to God? Is that out of a heart of fear, or is it out of a heart of love? Well, under the law, the Ten Commandments, our response to God was always out of a heart of fear. Why? Because we were fearful of punishment, because we couldn't live up to those
Correct.
Those commandments. But now, in this new covenant, we can respond to him with a heart of love. Why? Because God has poured that love into our hearts. And as we abide in Christ, as we walk by faith in Christ, this is the internal reality, this the internal way of life that we have, then that can be expressed in love toward others. So the first thing that we need to get established in as far as this new covenant life is concerned is the fact that God is alive living in us. Christ is alive living in us, and he is going to do a work in and through us so that we can live this life of faith, hope, and love in him.
Well, this book of Hebrews is a rich study, and of course every Friday we're going through the book of Hebrews and another very, very rich study. We want you to be a part of it. Coming Friday will be the fifth of the sessions, and for those of you who are new to Basic Gospel, if you'd like to catch up, you can go to the radio archive. Just go to basicgospel.net and click the radio drop-down menu, and you'll find the archive there, including all of the Friday editions with this Hebrew study as well, so we encourage you to take advantage of that. Right now, open lines 844-322-2742, and friends, if you want to grow as a believer, if you want your Christian life to be abundant and full, well, you need to get established in truth. Now, that's the title of a brand new CD by Bob Christopher that homes in on what it means to stand firm in our faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like you to have a copy when you make your February gift to Basic Gospel. To make that happen, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Either way, we'll get a copy of this important new CD, Established in Truth, on the way to you. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. A question from Patty in Phoenix. Let's listen right now.
Hi, this is Patty from Phoenix, and I have a question, and thank you for your ministry, by the way. I listen to it regularly. Really appreciate it. My question is, how do we move our concern for family members and friends, perhaps, who don't yet know the Lord into the non-worry zone? I certainly worry about my family way too much, and I know God's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And I don't quite understand why anyone wouldn't want to pass from death to life in him. But how do we either keep the hope alive or put it on the back burner in our minds or something like that? I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a worry to me. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Patty, thank you for your kind words, your encouragement. Yes. We certainly appreciate that, and we love that question, because I think all of us ask that at one point or another. There's loved ones, either in our family, friends, fellow workers, folks we know in the neighborhood that don't know the Lord and that are, aggressively against, coming to him. Mm-hmm. And it does worry you. It does make you concerned for their souls. So how do you deal with that in a way where it just doesn't just tear your guts up inside that they haven't come to know Jesus? And I think we have to get back to the point and realize that we can water, we can plant, we can sow, but God is going to bring about the life. It's up to him to do the work. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. So we have to recognize a couple of things. First, God loves that person more than you do.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we're not sure about that. You know, how could God love my kids more than I love my kids? Well, guess what he does? He sent Jesus He loved them so much, he sent Jesus on their behalf so that they could believe in him and receive everlasting life. I can only be a voice to help point them to Jesus and to the love that God has for them. So we have to recognize first that God loves those folks more than we do. And second, we have to realize that the results aren't on our shoulders. It's not up to us to cause something to happen. So I think a lot of times our worry really gets intensified when we're not seeing the results in a timely manner or according to our timeline. So we just have to recognize that God's timeline is different. And so we just say, hey, I've shared Christ. They seem to know what the gospel is. They understand what those words are. They understand that they receive Christ. And so I've done that in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've expressed the love of God. So I'm going to leave the results of that in God's hands. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to continue to pray for them, but I'm going to leave the results of that in God's hands. And that's how you, I think, go through life without the worry, without the anxiety. Why? Because you've cast that care upon the Lord. You have prayed. You have given thanks. You have left it in God's hands. And when the results come, you can be excited about that.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know that God's at work. You know, he's not asleep. He's not, you know, it's not like we need to wake him up and say, God, don't you see this person over here who needs you? Why aren't you working on his behalf? Well, the answer is he is.
Yes.
So trust him. Just leave that in his hands. And I think you can, instead of a sense of worry, you can gain a sense of excitement to see what God is going to do in that situation. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
I see worry in my own life primarily as an issue of control. If I feel like I'm losing control over something or someone, then I get worried. So if I'm worried about someone who hasn't accepted Jesus, I have somehow taken control of that situation. That is not my situation to control. And that doesn't mean, you know, giving up control is cold-hearted. It's actually the loving thing to do. Let God deal with them. He's infinitely creative and more than powerful enough to get through to them wherever they are, whenever they are, and get the response. They can still say no. That's their choice. But I have to give up that need to control. And it's the hardest thing, especially when you're dealing with family members. The hardest thing to do is to give up control of your children and say, God, they're in your hands.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Good words, Richard. Thank you.
Well, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. We still have plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. You can stay connected with us every day, by the way, with the Basic Gospel app. You can listen live or access the archive. You can send us a question or you can make a donation. You can do it all with the Basic Gospel app. Well, a call from Idaho. Let's listen to this one with Diana.
Hi, my name is Diana, and from Idaho. And my question is, when Lot had his daughters with him, and they were told to leave the city, and the angel, you know, helped him get away, were his daughters judged for having sex with their dad and got him drunk? I mean, it wasn't clear on that. Was there judgment passed down on them? Did God hold that against them? Were they, you know, a sin? I just didn't know. But I sure would appreciate the answer. Thank you. I love y'all. Y'all are real good answering questions. I just thank God for you. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Diana. I tell you, that section in the book of Genesis, Genesis 19, I mean, you come through that and you get to the end of it and you're scratching your head thinking, holy moly, what in the world was going on? I mean, angels come and visit Lot and other men come up and say, where are those people that came? We want you to send them out so we can know them.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, become friends and pals and that sort of thing. And Lot says, here's my daughters, you know, take them. And it's like,
reject them.
Yes. How could you do such a thing as that?
Yeah.
If you're in Lot's shoes and you've just seen, you know, the saving work of God on your behalf to pull you out of that wicked city, that wicked setting, and save you. And then that was kind of his response to that. And then they moved to the city Zoar and they decide to go up into the caves, and they're in this cave, and the daughters are thinking, man, all the men are dead. What are we going to do to preserve the human race?
Yeah.
So we've got to do something drastic. And in that fearfulness and that sort of thing, they said, well, let's get her father drunk. And, you know, let's get him drunk one night, and I'll go into him. And then the next daughter went into him the next day, and both of them became pregnant by their dad. And it's like I said, holy moly, what in the world is going on here?
I wouldn't have put that story in here.
you would think. And so you see just you know, the frailty and the sinfulness and the of mankind, and just how much we need the Lord. We need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, here's a story that proves that probably as much as any other story in the Bible. Well, both of the daughters get pregnant. They give birth to Moab. The first one bore a son and called him Moab, and then the other one called his son Ben-Ammi. And so the Moabites and the Ammonites.
Yes.
And those two groups became enemies of Israel.
Yeah.
For example, in First Kings chapter 11, we see that the gods, the god of the Moabites and the god of the Ammonites, have become the gods that the Israelites are now worshiping, and they suffer consequences for that. And so we don't see anything specific happening to the daughters, but we see the consequences of their sin carrying through to many generations well beyond their lifespan. So it was just an incredible story, with really, really bad results.
Yes.
And, I think it teaches us some things, doesn't it? That anytime we make decisions based on fear, they're not going to be good decisions. We're called to trust. We're called to trust the Lord Jesus. And in that trust comes wisdom. You know, God's big enough to handle anything that we come across in life. And, you know, if all the men on planet Earth had died at that time, he's big enough to take care of that, isn't he?
Sure is.
But from a human's perspective, we oftentimes don't know that. And if we're operating out of fear, that fear can blind us to the bigness of God, the wonders of God, and the benefits of God. And so that's why the whole Bible from start to finish is trying to build inside of us a heart of trust. That's what parenting is all about, is to create such a loving atmosphere within the home that the kids can trust you and talk through all kinds of situations. And that is a preparation for the time that they're ready to put their full weight of trust in the Lord Jesus. So that's what the Bible is trying to teach us, is this heart of trust, this heart of faith. And when we come to Christ, that really becomes a reality in our lives, but we're still going to be wrestling with fearful things.
Yes.
And sometimes we'll submit to those fears, and when we do, the decisions we make are oftentimes not very good, and here's an real example.
Yeah. But look at the grace of God here. I mean, Moab and Ammon are roughly where the country of Jordan is today. I mean, how many thousand years, and the country is still here, and it serves as a buffer between Syria and Israel. Well, that's the grace of God.
Yes.
I mean, in spite of this incredible evil, God says, I can use this. I can overrule in this situation so that, my will is accomplished. Satan cannot thwart me.
Yes.
He just does it.
He sure does.
Yeah. Well, friends, I want to remind you that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and to say thanks for your support this month, we're going to send you a brand-new CD by Bob Christopher called Established in Truth. It's our gift back to you when you donate to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and online every day. So to make your gift and receive your copy, just click Donate at BasicGospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742, or donate online at BasicGospel.net. Well, guys, a question from Matt, who wrote to us from Iowa, and this concerns 2 Corinthians 9. He says, the verse says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we know that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." So Matt wants to know, he says, the passage seems to reflect a form of judgment apart from justification by faith in Christ. Can you please give your opinion on how this passage applies to believers, and how would I respond to someone who is using this passage in an attempt to bring others under a legalistic mindset regarding our relationship with God? That's from Matt in Iowa.
Well, the judgment for sin has already been dealt with. That happened at the cross. And what we see in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is this building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. And then as we abide in him and live by faith in him, we're able to build upon that foundation. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about the building materials. You can use materials that are going to withstand the fiery judgment, or you can use building materials that are going to burn up. So there are some ways that we build upon the foundation that it's actually going to stand and to stand eternally. There's other ways that we're going to build on it that has no value at all to the advancement or the building of the kingdom. And so it really gets down to source. Who's the source of those works in and through us? If it's God, then he's using the right building materials. If it's flesh, if it's human effort, if it's our own selfish ambition and pride, then when we go to the building material store, we're going to pick the wrong stuff, and it's not going to hold up. And so we're going to have a chance to see that in judgment. It's not a bad judgment. It's just saying, I want to show you how I used your life in this world, how that through you we built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get to see that. All the rest is just going to burn. And that's what this is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So there's absolutely nothing to fear. Nope. Your sins have been judged. There's no video screen in heaven where all of your evil thoughts, all of your evil deeds are going to be broadcast to all of heaven. That went upon Jesus. We're just going to be standing before the Lord, and we're going to see how God used us in this lifetime to make a difference in this world by building on the foundation of Jesus Christ with the right building materials.
That big old screen wouldn't hardly be heaven, would it?
No, it wouldn't. It would not at all.
Yeah, well, friends, I want to remind you that we love hearing from you. We would love to hear from you. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, give us a call anyway at 844-322-2742. That number's active 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, keep in mind, friends, the new CD that Bob has created, it's called Established in Truth, a message that will encourage you to grow as a believer, to be established in a full and abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Established in Truth is our gift back to you when you donate to support this message of God's unconditional love and grace on Basic Gospel. To make your gift and to receive your copy, click Donate at BasicGospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Remember also that we are streaming live video to both our Facebook and YouTube channels every day. We hope you'll take advantage and come on inside the studio with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.